the apostle writes, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Boy, that sounds like a tall order, doesn't it? A life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Sounds like we're going to have to do a whole lot of things. We're going to have to do a whole lot of good works. We're going to have to be good. We're going to have to clean up our lives, right? With all humility and gentleness, with patience. Huh? Humility? Gentleness? Patience? Well, right there, the order is too tall. There's no way I can be humble. There's no way I can be gentle. There's no way I have enough time to be patient. Are you kidding me? Bearing with one another in love? The order is too tall. It's too difficult. There's no way we can do this. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort, not some efforts, every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Over the past 2,000 years of the church, we have failed to do this. Humility, gentleness, patience, ha ha, and the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, where the Holy Spirit binds us together as one in the peace of God, the peace of God which ends all againstness, all division, all strife. The church, my brothers and sisters, has this high calling to live its life openly with gentleness and humility and patience and love, which unites us together, and yet we fail. We have failed for 2,000 years to do this. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. Sometimes you read past the words and you don't really hear them. Hear them again. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Not many lords, not many gods, not many hopes, not many callings, not many spirits, not many bodies. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And yet the church has majored in dividing itself, in splitting itself up, in dividing itself into us versus them, in dividing itself into the insiders and the outsiders, in dividing itself into north and to south, east and west. We've majored in dividing ourselves up, arguing and disagreeing, creating factions and groups. It started very early in the time of Paul. You had the circumcision party, those Jewish Christians that thought that the Gentile Christians needed to become Jews in order to become Christians. And hence the divisions began during the New Testament period. And yet here we have the apostle writing to the Ephesians saying, "Be one. Bear with one another in gentleness, with humility and patience." All of which, my sisters and brothers, is so trying and difficult. Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is our calling as the church. And yet we fail. We failed for 2,000 years. And the proof of this is to take a look at how many different kinds of Christians there are. Most of our divisions, when they occurred, seemed important. But today, when you look at them, you go, "You mean they argued about that? Uh-huh." There was a division in the Orthodox Church where the question was, do you make the sign of the cross with three fingers together like this, or with two fingers this way and three fingers that way. And the Orthodox Church, the old believers in the Russian Orthodox Church, broke off because of that. Seems silly, doesn't it? Do you cross yourself this way or this way? What does it matter? But it mattered to them. So much so that they struggled and they fought. And they even cut off fingers to try to make the other side do what they were supposed to do. During the Reformation period, there were trials that would be held, and the leader of the opposing faction, after they died, their body would be exhumed and placed on trial and then burned after found guilty of heresy. The divisions in the church over the last 2,000 years have been horrible. Without humility, without gentleness, without patience, the church has denied the sister and brotherhood of its sisters and brothers. And if we cannot be united together in peace with one another, held together by the bond of peace that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit, if we cannot look at our neighbor and say, we are one in Christ, even though we may have differences of opinion, even though we may have differences on political issues, even though we may have differences of opinion on social issues, if we cannot look at our neighbor with whom we share a common faith in Jesus Christ and say, we are one together, then how can we possibly turn to the world and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and welcome them into the family of God? I wouldn't want to be part of a family of God that was constantly squabbling, constantly fighting, like any family, if I weren't already born into it. Oh, my sisters and brothers, we wonder why the church is failing to proclaim the gospel, why the church is failing to live the gospel, why the church is failing to be the people of God. It's because we fail to recognize in our sisters and brothers. Sisters and brothers. It's because we fail to do these things. We fail to reach people who've never heard of Jesus. Gandhi lived in India, where the Church of England held sway and Methodism held sway amongst all of the pagan religions that existed in that day and today. And he went to a church one day because he wanted to see what this Jesus stuff was about. He wanted to hear from Christians what Christians had to say about Jesus. And he went to this church to worship, and he was blocked at the door and told he could not enter. So that later in life he would say, I would have been a Christian if I had ever met one. If I could have met one Christian, I would have been a Christian. Here we hear the apostle saying to us, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Go to General Conference with me next year in 16 and watch how little bearing with one another in love there is. How much lack of patience, how much lack of gentleness, how much lack of humility is present there. And it doesn't matter the side you're on. They'd rather have them borne out on stretchers than bear together in love. And yet, we are called to be one body, one spirit, with one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, not some, all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. On Monday, when I began my work on this sermon, I thought I was going someplace completely different. Strange how God will sometimes do this to you. As I ruminated on this passage and read it in the original language and struggled with it and read it again and again and again and again, some things kept on popping out at me. One was the stark discontinuity between what the church claims it is to be and what the church actually is. And the next one is this amazing series of gifts. But each of us has been given grace, unearned, unmerited favor, according to the measure of Christ's gift. That word gift there, it probably should be better translated as present, bequest, present, Christ's present for you. But each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's present for us. The presence he gave, verse 11, the presence he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And usually this is read, and I've been to lots of ordination services where the bishop gets up and he preaches this message, and then he looks at them and says, okay, some of you are apostles, some of you are evangelists, some of you are pastors and teachers. And what is missed is that Paul is saying this to every Christian in Ephesus. Not just the pastors, not just the bishops, not just the evangelists, not just the clergy, but to every Christian. In other words, we are all given gifts for ministry. Every one of you. We all have been given gifts, presents for ministry. This first one, apostles. Apostolos means a sent one, but it's more than just any old sent one. It's a person who's been sent in order to lead. The United Methodist Church has what we understand as an apostolic ministry, where the clergy, the pastors, the ministers are sent out to the congregations to be in servant leadership ministry. But usually throughout the history of the church, apostles have been identified with bishops. Okay? Hold that one for a moment. We're going to come back to it. Apostles. Some are prophets. Prophetes, it means to proclaim the word of God. It's not about telling the future. It's about proclaiming the word of God to the people of God here and now today. In other words, I am prophesying right now. I'm preaching. I'm proclaiming the word of God. I am prophesying right this moment. And some are gifted with this gift, with this present. And usually it's a present, a gift, God's grace, that quite frankly, we don't want. Look at the history of preachers and teachers and prophets in the Old Testament who said, oh Lord, I can't possibly do this, I stutter, I'm the least of all the saints, don't call me. Oh no. Don't call me. That's kind of like me. Sure, you can go to seminary. You can learn how to preach. You can learn all the tricks of the trade. You can learn how to put together a 3-point sermon. You can learn all those things. But if you're not gifted as a gift, a present prophet, a gift minister, a gift prophet, if you're not gifted with the gift, or the present of preaching, it's usually weak. And yet one who is gifted with the gift can go out and preach and without a lick of study can actually proclaim the word. It's amazing to see. As most of you know, when I was young, I had to go to special education because I stuttered. And I had trouble reading, and I was somewhat dyslexic. Still have trouble with numeric dyslexia, as y'all have heard, calling out numbers backwards. And yet, when it became time for me to get up to preach, something clicked in me. Some aspect of the presence of God in my life came to life in me. And I opened my mouth, and I began to speak, and the stuttering was gone. God's present to you can be just as miraculous. You have apostles, you have prophets, you have evangelists. An evangelist is a lot like a prophet, except that their focus is on proclaiming the good news in order to welcome those into a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Welcome all into a new relationship with God. The evangelist's duty is to proclaim the good news to welcome new people in. We all have that responsibility, but some are especially gifted to do this. Pastors and teachers. That word pastor translates the Greek word for shepherd. Probably should be better translated as shepherds and teachers. We all know that there are teachers and then there are real teachers. Teachers who teach because that's what they've been trained to do, and teachers who teach because it's what they've been gifted to do. Likewise, shepherds. Some pastors are blessed to be shepherds. Some lay people are blessed to be shepherds. I have been shepherded by many wonderful saints in my ministry. As I said this morning in first service, one of the most comforting shepherds I know in this congregation, who welcomes me every single Sunday morning and every single Wednesday morning when I go in for worship, is Mary Means. Who welcomes me with a hug, who kisses me on the cheek and says good morning, and reminds me that she has prayed for me the days gone by. Wow. She is gifted, a gift shepherd, a present to this church of a shepherd in our midst. And this goes to illustrate the fact that every one of these gift ministries, while usually identified within the pastors, within people like Brian and myself, in truth, each one of these gifts is present amongst you. There are leaders in this congregation, individuals whom God has gifted with apostolic leadership for this church. Likewise, there are fabulous prophets, people who speak the word of God in word and in deed. There are evangelists amongst us, people who are good at welcoming others into the family of faith. And yes, there are teachers in our midst, amazing teachers, Sunday school teachers and other kinds, and shepherds called to shepherd the flock together. These are the gifts that we have all received, not just clergy, all the people of God. What gift have you received? What present from Jesus have you received? And what's its purpose? He tells us in verse 12, the purpose of these gifts, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Well, you can quit right there. Saints? What saints? That's you, friends. To equip each other for the work of the ministry. Well, the work of the ministry, I thought that's what we paid you and Brian to do. Sorry. Yes, we're called to equip, to come and lead and teach and preach. Yes, we're called to do these things and gifted by God to do them and sent by the church to do them. But we're to equip the saints, which is you. And you have also received gifts to share with each other for ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The work of ministry, the building up of the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Why has the church not done what it's called to do across the centuries? Why is the church failing to reach the unchurched in this day and age? It's because we don't exercise the presence, the gifts for ministry that we have been given. There are some in this sanctuary this morning who may have been called into ordained ministry, but never answered that call. There are others who have been called to leadership in the church, but have never answered that call. There may be still others who have been called to teach Sunday school or Bible study and have not answered that call. There are some who are called to be shepherds for others, but are afraid to reach out with an arm of compassion. What gift have you received? What present from Jesus have you received? And are you going to open it and employ it in your life to the building up of the body of Christ together? Or are you going to set it aside and sit back and let somebody else do it? My sisters and brothers, our calling is clear. Our calling is clear, and the gifts of grace that we have from Jesus and the presence that we have received is here now. And there's no better time like the present to open the present and give grace to all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence,
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2015 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.